Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to get into the Word and we're going to go to... Where are we going this morning? Romans. Who loves Romans? The book of Romans, chapter 11, 36. It's on the screen if you have your Bibles open to it. It says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." For from him and through him and to him are all things. It says him in that one verse four times. Who is he talking about in the one verse? It's talking about our God. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the Trinity. It's talking about God. It's all about him. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. It sounds like a prayer. Doesn't that just sound like a prayer? It is a prayer. And who knows that this house, Pneuma South, is a house of prayer. Jesus said, "My church will be a house of prayer for all nations." I remember at the start of 2024, preaching a message called Build It. And we're talking about building our prayer lives. Jesus says around Matthew 6, Matthew 7, that whoever hears my word and practices it is like the man who built his house on the rock. When the rain comes, when the storm comes, that house will not be washed away. That house will not be affected because it's built on the rock. He says, if you hear my words and you do them, in that same sermon, which is the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches them how to pray. This is what he calls us to a life of prayer. I want to ask you guys, how is your prayer life going? That was back at the start of 2024. And even before then, you were a people of prayer. I was a person of prayer. We were called to be a people of prayer. How is your prayer life going? I remember coming into this building officially at the Salvation Army on the 25th of August, 2024. And we started having services in here. And I remember preaching a message about the house of God. And we're saying how a house of God is a place where people experience God's presence. And that what attracts God's presence in a house, in your life, is prayer. When you pray, the Lord goes, "Yes, you want me in your life. You want me in your midst." He shows up. What makes up a house of prayer is a people of prayer. It's not just about praying in this house, but it's in your house, at your work. It's about you and I being houses of prayer. So today what I actually want to talk to you about is not just prayer, but the why of prayer. The why. We know the what. Sometimes or many times we struggle to actually pray. But we know the what. But why should we pray? Why is it that Jesus' disciples are like, "Teach us to pray"? It's the one thing they said, "Lord, teach us. Teach us to pray." The Bible talks about prayer, the word prayer. Pray, prayed, to pray more than 300 times. You see that word come up in the Bible. But what is prayer before we talk about the why? It's like what I'm doing right now. It's communication. It's talking. Talking to God is prayer. Spending time with the Lord is prayer. But it's communication. And yes, it's two-way. His word, we have it. He said everything he needs to say. But he'll remind us of it. But we pray his word. We go to his word and we pray according to his word. But us praying is actually us talking to him. So let's talk about that. For from him through him, to him, for him. From him are all things. To him are all things. For him are all things. When you and I realize that for from him are all things, everything that you have, everything that you are, everything that I have and how I got here and what I'm doing, he holds it all together. When we're reminded of that and we think like that, for from him are all things, you can't help but move to thanksgiving and gratitude. Have you heard those words? Thanksgiving, gratitude. Simple words. But we can easily not take moments in our day to day to show gratitude to our God, to give thanks. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're to give thanks in all circumstances, not just for this or for that, but in all things. So why don't we take a moment right now? Close your eyes. If it's okay with you, let's take a moment to actually think, Lord, what can I thank you for? What am I thankful for from yesterday? What are three things from yesterday? What happened yesterday? What are you thankful for? What is he doing today? What has he done? What are some things that maybe I'm taking for granted or you're taking for granted? Let's take a moment to give him thanks. Actually talk to him. Tell him in your heart. Or give him a whisper or speak it out. Just give you a moment to thank him. There is so much to thank him for. I'm thankful for the clock that's not going down at the moment. But if someone doesn't put the clock on, I'll be here all day. Romans 1:21 says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Or give thanks to him. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. A lack of thanksgiving and gratitude can actually distance us from God. See, a big part of prayer is thanksgiving. Paul says in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. The peace of God that transcends understanding. It's like, how can you have peace? How can you have peace when things are not going well? How can you thank him when things are not going well? But he says, in everything, give thanks. Thanksgiving is such a key part of our prayer lives. Because if we don't give thanks to God, if we don't take moments, what I try to do these days in the morning when I come to spend some time in the Word, even before I open the Word, I get my journal and I just say, Lord, I want to think about three things from yesterday that I'm thankful for. And I write them down. And you know what? There will be so many more than three things. You could take forever just thanking the Lord. But when we don't have thanksgiving in our lives, we actually start to think, hey, I'm doing this. I'm the source. This is from me. I've got this. It's actually how we're thinking. We might not think it, but that's actually how we're living. We're not giving thanks. We're not remembering, and even maybe things that the Lord has blessed you with, miracles, that job, that baby, that husband. He came through as a miracle, but now we're not even giving him thanks for that or for other things. There's so much to thank him for. And this is a massive part of prayer. For from him are all things. Colossians chapter 1, 16 to 17 says this. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. From him, what are you thankful for today? You thankful for your church family? You thankful for your fiance? Praise the Lord, they proposed. Are you thankful for the weather? All in the little things, the people that are there for you in the tough times. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly. Continue means we keep doing what we're doing. It says, continue steadfastly. What does steadfastly mean? It means without wavering. It means be loyal. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Be watchful in prayer with thanksgiving. It is such a key part of prayer. This is why we pray, because it's from him are all things. Hey, it can sound obvious, but why is it that we don't do it? Lord, we want to give you our attention today. R.T. Kendall, who's an author, a theologian, a pastor, in his book, Did You Think to Pray? Did you think to pray? He says these words. He says, the best way to learn to pray is to interlace each request with as many things you can remember for which you are thankful. Don't make him read your mind. Tell him. Oh, but God knows. He knows what I'm thankful for. He knows what I'm thinking. RT says, no, tell him. Don't make him read your mind. The best way to learn to pray is to interlace each request with as many things you can remember for which you are thankful for. There's so many things that we forget to be thankful for until actually you take a moment to go, wow, Lord, thank you that I got fired from that job because it was toxic and I was just stuck in it. There's so many things. See, your relationship with God, my relationship with God, is only as good as your prayer life. Your relationship with God, my relationship with God, is only as good as my prayer life. Man, I can feel the stones about to come. What? Jesus died for me. He did it for me. It's all by grace, bro. What do you mean my relationship with him is only as good as my prayer life? It's not by works. Bro, I hear you. I hear you. But Jesus' part is done. It is done. It's not going to change. He loves you as you are. But he actually loves to spend time with you. He's spoken to us. He's spoken to us. He still speaks to us through this, but he speaks through the Holy Spirit. And a relationship is only as good as the communication in the relationship. Michael and Allison say, amen. Amen. Because just think about a marriage. Oh, our marriage is good. See, I'm part of this thing called Prepare and Enrich. That you do with couples. They do a survey. They answer all these questions so you can see what their strength areas and their growth areas are. And then these couples will get classified according to these different categories. And you can, one category is conflicted. They are just so conflicted, so different. There's so many things that it's just like they're bumping heads. And then you have maybe I won't get too much into it. I'll just tell you the best one that I like. It's the vitalized couple. The vitalized couple. Now, when you see vitalized couple, you go, oh, that is awesome. But it doesn't mean they don't have any issues. All it means is actually that they're good at communicating. They've got good communication skills and they're good with conflict resolution. So no matter what issues they go through, they can work through it. Communication is so key. My wife and I think we're the best communicators when it comes to marriage. But every time we go to a marriage seminar, we come out fighting about communication. And I've come to realize that our marriage is only as good as our communication. Because, man, I just want to do my thing. I want my space. I want to do this. Babe, but why are you doing that? What are you doing? What do you mean? Like, this is what I'm doing. No, but that's what you're doing. You decided to do that. You didn't tell me. Oh, do I need to tell you everything? Well, you're just doing stuff. You're all up in your own head. And all she's saying is, I want to be in your head. I want to be in your heart. I want you to share your heart. I'm like, but I want space. But it's like, but no, we're one. We got married, we're one. And we say we're one with Jesus. So if we're one with Jesus, he can't do all the talking himself. We've actually got to speak to him. We got to share our hearts with him. We got to hear his heart. So your relationship with God is only as good as your prayer life. If you don't like that, take it to God. And as you do that, you're praying. Oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. So for from him are all things. When we realize that from him are all things, we actually realize, man, we need his mind. We need his wisdom. Everything is from him. The way I work, he's the one that gives me the ability. The people he's put in my life, he's brought them in. The extra day of life I have, he's allowing it. So I need him. So it's for from him, but it's actually to him. My focus needs to be to him. I need to look to him for direction, for answers, for help, for healing. So we need to focus on him, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because even though everything is for from him, is he done there? He's not done. He has more to give us. We can't just focus on what he's already given, but he's got more he's going to pour out, and we need his direction. We need to depend on him. And prayer actually helps us to keep our eyes fixed on him. Look to him for wisdom. Through him are all things. Through him are all things. If you're looking at your life and you're going, nah, it's not through him, then it's through you, it's through other things. But actually, he's the one that holds everything together. And the best things, the eternal things that count, it is through him. And he works through us. Why do I say all of that? Because the Bible actually tells me that apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. And we're like, but I'm doing stuff without Jesus. Well, it's not going to count for what's most important. For eternity, what's going to last after we step over, after we go into eternity. And in the Word, God shows us what matters most. And one of the things that matters most is our love for one another. Love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another. See, when we look to Jesus, when we look to God, when we spend time with him in prayer, we get to see that he loves us and he wants us to love others. He even teaches us to pray, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, prayer is a big part of abiding in God. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. He says, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What am I talking about? For from him and to Him. This is about dependence on God. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is actually saying, Lord, I invite you to come into my day. I invite you to come into my mind, into my heart, into the things that I love, into the people that I love, into the things that I desire. I want you involved. So you bring Him in. He won't force Himself upon you. He won't. But He will knock on the door. He will give you signs. He will show you through nature. He will do whatever He needs to do to get to each one of us in the church, out of the church. But what He wants from us is dependence. And when we depend on Him, we're actually showing Him that we need Him. This is what prayer is all about. But if we're not depending on Him, we're actually saying, God, I don't need your help. If we're not praying, we're actually saying, God, I don't need your help. And but I'm so busy. I'm so busy. But someone said, too busy not to pray. Too busy to not pray. I can't remember how it goes, but it actually shows you that when you're so busy, you're actually so busy that you actually can't afford not to pray. You know you've got so much going on. You know there's so much going at you. Kids, mental health, business, money, whatever it is. That's when you're like, Lord, I'm going to stop. Because I can't rely on myself. This is too much. I need you. I need you, Lord. That's when we actually need Him the most. A prayerless life is a sign of self-reliance. A prayerless life is a sign of self-reliance. I've got nothing to gain from you praying more. But I've got so much to gain from me praying more. But the Lord has put it on our hearts to continue to dig deep in the wells of prayer. That prayer would become a part of each one of us. When we talk about prayer, we're talking about your relationship with God, your dependence on God, how you look to God, how He becomes part of you every day. A prayerless life is a sign of self-reliance. So let me ask you this. What are you asking God for help for right now? What do you need help from the Lord for right now? What's that thing in your life? Is there anything you're actually saying, Lord, can you help me with this? Have you given Him that list? When's the last time you wrote something down? You made a pause, say, Lord, I need your help. He just waits for us to ask. Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Persist. Yes. What are you asking Him for help right now? It's not like, oh, I've got that covered, Lord. I've got, you're good, Father. You're good. I've got that covered. But this thing, no, He wants to be part of everything. He wants to be part of your drive to the supermarket. Literally, because you know what happens at the supermarket when that line's too long or you've done online shopping and then you rock up thinking it's already there and then it's not there, then you're getting nasty at them. You need His help to react in the right way. Ian Bounds writes a book on prayer that I love called The Weapon of Prayer. It's a weapon. He says, he who does not pray therefore robs himself of God's help. And places God where He cannot help man. He who does not pray, therefore robs himself of God's help and places God where He cannot help man. God just loves to hear from you. He loves spending time with you. You know, Jesus says, and when you pray, shut the door. Pray in secret. And he who hears what's prayed in secret will reward you in public. There's something so powerful about taking time to pray by yourself in a quiet space. It's great that we get together and we pray. It's part of it. But you see, when you pray in private, what God does is He increases your capacity for the pressure that's going to come externally when you're out there in the real deal places. But you need to get with him in the private place and speak to him. Jesus would go away to be with his Father, and his disciples saw that. He who does not pray therefore robs himself of God's help and places God where he cannot help man. That includes you two ladies. I know it says he. Ian Bounds is talking about he and she. If you do not pray, if I don't pray, I actually rob God of the opportunity to help. But what I love about the Lord, he's always ready for me to call upon his name. I might have not prayed for so long, but Lord, help me. Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me. Even if you are not a believer or you don't agree with any of the stuff that I'm talking about, if you ask the Lord, Lord, who's Lord? God, there's something bigger out there. Lord, if you're real, show yourself, prove yourself. He will do it. You hear many stories of that. He is just a call away. But he doesn't just always do or even do just what we ask for just because we asked for it. He doesn't work that way. But he loves hearing from us. And when we pray and we ask, he actually moves because of what we pray, especially when you pray according to his word, when you pray according to his will. He will answer it sooner or later. He will, if it's according to his will. Talks about in 1 John, if you pray according to my will, my Father will answer you. But we don't always understand and know his will. But he just wants us to be in that place of dependence where no matter what, we're asking, we're praying. But he already knows what he wants to do or what's going to happen. What's the point of asking when he knows? He loves it when you depend on him, when you ask. And he actually waits to move until someone wants to partner with him in prayer. So is prayer something you aspire to do? Or is it actually something that's becoming part of you? Do you just, I'd love to grow in prayer. Oh, I want to do more. Oh, I'm not doing enough. Or are you actually catching something? Has God already been challenging you on this, speaking to you? And you're like, man, I'm glad I'm in church today. God's got my number. Because I've been feeling like, yeah, I need to. It's an invitation. This is not about condemning anyone for not praying enough. It's not about praying more, praying enough. It's just about getting with the Lord, making room to grow in relationship with him. From him to him, from him are all things. Through him are all things. See, when we look at all of this, for, from him, and to him, what is it all for? What is it actually all for? Glory. We're saying it today. It's all for his glory. Everything that we have, everything that we are, who you are, what he gives day by day, what he puts in your hand, the relationships he's put in your hand, the time that you have to steward, the breath that you have, that I have, it's all for his glory. You're like, man, you're up yourself, Lord. You want it all? He's not like that. He actually wants it all so you can have him all. It's because when we give him the glory, when we dedicate everything to him, he reveals himself even more to us. Things make more sense. The word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The things that he knows you need. It's all for his glory. What is it when you say his glory? It's all for his honor. It's for his credit. He created everyone for a relationship with him. But sin came into the world. And we were separated from him. We could not have relationship with him because he is holy. He is pure. But we're all born as sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of his glory. But when we actually say, Lord, we all mess up. But his word says that whilst we were still sinners, whether that was last week, Whether that was yesterday, whether that was 20 years ago, that whilst we're still sinners, Christ died for us. For the people that were there then 2,000 years ago, whilst there were still sinners, Christ died. It's to say, what he did on the cross, he did it for you, knowing that you're going to mess up, knowing that you're not going to measure up. But whilst you were still a sinner, he died for you. He paid a price. And then he gave his life and he rose again. And he sent his Holy Spirit. His presence that is around us and available to us, that if we say yes to him, he comes into our hearts, into our lives, so we can have relationship with him, we can learn from him, we can love one another, but all for his glory. The purpose of prayer, the purpose of what he's given us, is to glorify him. But praise is effort, like praise. Extend my hands. Prayer, giving time to him. Oh, that is effort. Getting into the word, man, that is effort. Watching Netflix is not a lot of effort. Saying no to the things that I love to do, so I can say yes to God, is effort. It's sacrifice. It's all for his glory, because God sacrificed everything in Jesus Christ. So it was so he could make a way, so we could be in relationship with God. It's all for his glory. Sacrifice of self. Living sacrifices, we're told in Romans 12. Therefore, by the mercies of God, brothers and sisters, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Holy, holy, holy. Present your bodies to him. It says, this is your act of spiritual worship. To be a living sacrifice. That means it's not going to be easy. But every day you come, Lord, I'm giving myself to you. Lord, show me the things that you want me to get into. Show me what's on your heart. And God does not want to take away from us what is good. He wants to give us what is good. He wants to get the distractions out of the way. And prayer, what a time, what a space to have with God. To focus on him and give him the glory. If the worship team could come up. Revelation 4:11 says, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. So is he worthy of our effort? Of our praise, of our sacrifice, of our time? Is he worthy of your effort, my effort? Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. We're to praise him even when we don't feel like it. We're to persevere in prayer. We're to persevere in looking to him. Life happens, things happen. But in all of that, Romans 12, verse 12 says, rejoice in hope. There is a hope. Hope in Jesus. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. When you're going through trials, when you're going through stuff, be patient in tribulation. And then it says, constant in prayer. Rejoice. Always rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation and constant in prayer. I don't know if you're getting it yet, but there is a call to be steadfast in prayer, to be constant in prayer, to be devoted in prayer. The Lord loves for us to be full of the Word and full of the Holy Spirit. And prayer is where it's at. You talking to the Lord. You hearing from him, you making time for him in your schedule. Actually saying, Lord, I've got a schedule, but Lord, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do in my time today? Where you put prayer in your life, where you put prayer in your life, where I put prayer in my life is where you put God in your life. Ian Bounds said that in the book, The Weapon of Prayer. Where you put prayer in your life is where you put God in your life. So I ask you today and I ask myself, do you want God in your life? Do you want Him all over your life? Or do you just want Him over some of your life? Are you selective on what He can be part of or what He can't? He wants to be all up in your business. What do I mean? See, He's got a business. It's called the kingdom of God. And He's taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. When you pray that in that prayer, you're saying, God, I want you to come and rule, and I want you to come and reign in my life and around me. I don't want to be the boss of my own life. I don't want the pastor to be the boss of my life, or my husband, or my wife. I want you to come and rule and reign and to take over everything around me. And He's a God of love. He's not coming to smash everything down, even though, yes, there's things He's going to smash down that get in the way only for your good. But His business is the kingdom of God. And it moves through prayer and the Holy Spirit. And so when you make His business, you're making prayer your main business. It's easy to get around day to day without acknowledging Him in our day, without speaking to Him, hearing from Him. But when we make it our main thing, watch what He's going to do. It's an invitation to say, Lord, I want you to consume my life. Any part of your life that God doesn't have, any part of my life that God doesn't have is dead. What do I mean? Man, you don't know that part. It is happening in there. When I say it's dead, I mean, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So if Jesus is not in it, if He's the life, then it's dead. There's no ruach in there, the breath of God. There's no pneuma in there, the wind of heaven. That's what brings life. But when you give every part, even the parts that you're like, but that's struggling, that's not, God's not in that. Bring Him into that. Oh, but it's hard to give that thing up. You don't know. God says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. So when you give Him that part, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a relationship, whether it's someone's betrayed you, whatever it is, a work situation that you haven't given to Him, your finance, He comes and He breathes on it and He works on it. He works with you to bring life and health. But He wants us to actually ask, to invite Him. Any part that God doesn't have that you haven't given Him is dead. It doesn't have His breath. It needs resuscitation. It needs revival. That's what revival is. It's Him breathing life into that area of your life. It needs His rule and His reign. Could we all close our eyes in this moment? Could you just join me in just taking stock? Think of your own life and just take stock of all that is in your life, day to day, hour by hour. What does your day-to-day look like? What goes through your mind? Is God in it? Is God in your life?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.